I was at some friend's house this past week for dinner, and they have three rather younger children. And I asked them, are you going on a summer vacation, going anywhere this summer with the kids? And the father very quickly replied, well, Father, we're going to a family event down in St. Paul, Kansas, and we got to the east side of Wichita and decided that would be the only trip this summer because their kids were behaving so poorly. Journeys can be both enjoyable and hard. Life is often described as a journey. I remember reading about the first missionaries to this part of Kansas. They came out of St. Louis, and speaking of St. Paul, Kansas, they established a mission at St. Paul called the Osage Mission. They then rode on horseback out here from farm to farm sharing the gospel. If you've ever read the book Death Comes for the Archbishop, a great novel about a bishop going into the West to share the gospel. Journeys can be very fruitful, but also very difficult. I had a priest friend ask me the other day, they're planning this trip to Ars, France, for a bunch of the priests and to go on retreat together with the bishop over there. And one of them asked me, you know, are you going on that trip? I said, of course not. And he said, well, why of course not? And I said, well, you know, who wants to ride on a plane that long? You know, it's torture. Traveling can, again, be very enjoyable, but sometimes not so much. Do you ever feel like you need help upon your journey? Well, Jesus gives you three pieces of advice in the gospel today for your journey in this life. Number one is to take a companion. Notice that he sends them out two by two. He doesn't send them out alone. He could have covered a lot more ground if he'd sent them all out individually, right? But he sends them out two by two because we cannot do it alone. And you can imagine the apostles standing there as Jesus is sending them out, hoping maybe they get paired with somebody else, right? Because they probably didn't get to pick who they go with. And so James is probably standing there thinking, man, I hope I don't get put with Peter because he's got a temper and I'm going to have to carry his walker and his oxygen since he's so old, you know. And then you've got, you know, Thomas over there saying he's doubtful about everything, right? So he's like, well, I don't know about this trip, you know. And John's getting stuck with Thomas thinking, this guy, he's just a pessimist, you know. They're very human too. You may feel the same way about the companion you've been stuck with. Maybe it's your partner in marriage. But you know what? Just as Jesus paired those guys off two by two and sent them out, and just as he gave you your spouse, we need, I repeat, need those people to help us get to heaven. Even if you feel like you have the worst marriage in the world, you need that person to help you get to heaven. And this is not only true of marriage, but it's also of the single life, that we still need companionship. Maybe it's a best friend. Or if you join a religious order, your religious brothers and sisters, or for a parish priest, it's the people that he's married to. We all need companions for the journey. Secondly, he says, He gives them a list of things not to take and things that they can take on the journey. He says, take nothing for the journey. And you can imagine the apostles standing there when he first says that and say, nothing? You're like, Jesus, can I at least take a change of underwear? You know? Nothing? I mean, imagine if you were leaving to go on a vacation, say to Colorado or something, and you just got in the car and didn't take anything with you. Some of you maybe do that. But it can be a little fearful to not have to have nothing with you. He goes on to explain, he says, no food, no sack, no money, no second tunic. Now, most of you here would be okay if you didn't have to take a second tunic because you don't have a first one to begin with. But if you were told not to take any food, not to take any money with you on this journey, you'd really be out of luck. Because, okay, I can deal with maybe not taking a change of clothes with me, but I get in my car and I'm driving to Colorado. How am I going to fill up the gas tank? You see, Jesus is giving this command to his apostles because he wants them to totally rely on other people to provide for their needs. Why? You might think he'd want them to be self-sufficient. I was visiting with a lady who was cutting my hair down the street here, and she was asking about priesthood and about Catholicism because she wasn't familiar with it. And she asked about, like, religious brothers. And so I shared with her the example of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. They were the ones that came and did our parish mission this past fall, winter. And I was telling about how they actually will go out sometimes and beg for their food. And she was really appalled by that idea. She's like, they go out and beg for their food? It's like, yeah. And she said, well, you know, what's wrong with them? Can't they support themselves? Why do they have to mooch off society, right? Not like there's a bunch of other people mooching off society. And she was appalled by that idea. But it's not, the friars don't do it because they can't be productive, because they can't get their own food. They do it because it creates an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. St. Francis himself, when he established the order, he had his friars go out and go door to door asking for food, even just scraps of bread. And it gave them a chance every time they encountered somebody to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, when we are put in need, those are some of the greatest opportunities to share the gospel. When God puts you in need is when you are most able to share the gospel. It was true for the first apostles. It was true for St. Francis as his followers. It is true for you today. I remember a guy who came to me once, this is some years ago, and he said, Father, I'm out of work and I don't know what to do. He is very humbled by the fact that he had to come and ask for help. And you know, I said, well, I'll be happy to help you out financially in the near term, but what's the plan, you know, in the long term? He says, I don't know. So I gave the guy some work to do around the parish here and paid him. And you know what happened, what was interesting, is that another person in the parish came by and saw the work he was doing and said, man, this guy does good work. Hired him on. If the guy had never come in need, never would have gotten the job. We have to sometimes be in need to find opportunity. Lastly, Jesus gives them the instruction, wherever you are in a house, stay there until you leave the place. Kind of a strange saying, isn't it? I mean, when I go to somebody's house, I usually stay there until I leave. You know, like, what does he mean? Well, in the same gospel in Matthew, he even fleshes that out a little more. And he says, and eat and drink what is set before you. And the sentiment of this statement is this, that you don't go from house to house looking for better opportunities. I mean, imagine if we had a priest come and he visited our parish and he didn't have anywhere to stay, and so one of you came up to him afterwards, and you said, you know, Father, why don't you come and, you know, stay at my house, you can eat at my house, and so you take him home, right? Well, then the next night, he's here preaching, say it's a parish mission, and he's visiting with some other parishioner, and the other parishioner says, well, Father, you know, I've got a much bigger house, and I got personal masseuse at my house, and I got barbecue on demand. Why don't you come stay at my place? And he's thinking, yeah. Always looking for the better opportunity, right? Always looking for more. It's a temptation for all of us, not just for the first apostles, that we're always looking for something better or looking for something more. Going from house to house, from car to car, from new clothes to new clothes, from relationship to relationship, from smartphone to smartphone, from game system to game system. And are we ever really satisfied? No. Because you see, this life can never satisfy because it's not the destination. It's just the journey. So on your journey, take a companion. And if you don't particularly like the one that you have, remember that God chose them for you and you need them. Remember that need creates opportunity. So don't be scared of need and be satisfied with what you have. God will bless you only with what you need to reach heaven.